Okay, next on our list, we have House Bill 120, Mick Thomas. If you'll come forward, state your name and...
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Mick Thomas, Secretary to the Idaho Oil and Gas Conservation Commission and Division Administrator for Minerals, Navigable Waterways, and Oil and Gas for the Idaho Department of Lands. Thank you for the opportunity to appear before you today discussing House Bill number 120. This bill proposes changes to Title 47, Chapter 3, Idaho Code, known as the Idaho Oil and Gas Conservation Act. I will speak briefly about the Commission's authority and reasons for these recommended changes, followed by a summary of the outreach and process the Commission followed. Consistent with Idaho Code 47314, the Commission is given jurisdiction to enforce the provisions of the Idaho Oil and Gas Conservation Act. The Idaho Department of Lands is the administrative arm for the Commission. This act sets standards for hydrocarbon production, protection of correlative rights, and the prevention of waste. These standards ensure the safe production of hydrocarbons while protecting the long-term sustainability of the resource. Further, this act sets standards for well construction, operation, and closure. Finally, the Oil and Gas Conservation Act provides protection for the mineral interest owner, as well as guidance for operators seeking to develop hydrocarbon resources in Idaho. Funding for the Commission and the administration of the Act comes from a combination of general fund, the collection of fees, and a dedicated fund receiving a 2.5% severance tax on the gross income received on production. In 2017, the Idaho legislature modernized 47.3 to provide additional guidance to operators, mineral interest owners, and the state. There were significant changes to the statute at that time. After 5 years of operating under these new guidelines, the Commission is recommending some additional changes to provide clarity to stakeholders. These changes improve reporting guidelines for the operator, allow changes to the makeup of the Commission by removing the director from the Department of Lands, and changing the technical requirements of the Commission to better reflect the needs of Idaho. The recommended changes are also describe just and reasonable terms for integration. Building these terms into statute allows mineral interest owners to be made aware of these terms prior to integration, as required by the U.S. District Court decision in Kaya versus Schultz. Some of the changes that the Commission has moved forward, first and foremost, increase protection for mineral interest owners. We've added terms specific for surface use. We've increased setbacks from unit boundaries. Setbacks from the unit boundaries is now the closest point of the completion interval rather than the surface location, 330 feet for oil and 660 feet for gas. We've carried the definition of arm's length contract definition. We've built it out and carried it down into the statute. An arm's length purchase report is now required. This provides clarity to the operator that purchase reports must include price sold to actual third parties. Drafts were presented at 5 commission meetings, November of 21, January, February, and April, and May of 22. At each of these meetings, the commission discussed and offered input on changes. The commission accepted oral comment during the November, February, and May meetings. Further, the commission scheduled 3 written comment periods in November 21, January 22, and February of 22. The commission also provided an oral comment session in March of 22 at the Fruitland City Hall. The commission received 10 written comments from persons outside the department and commission. During our oral comment session in Fruitland, there were 7 non-state attendees, many of which provided oral comments. In addition to the multiple meetings and public comment opportunities, the department created a website to ensure transparency and provide information to stakeholders and the public at large. This site included all written comments, each of the 6 draft texts, a recording of the oral comment session in Fruitland, and the meeting material for each of the commission meetings involving the recommended changes. There is no direct fiscal impact because of this bill. However, describing just and reasonable terms in the statute should shorten integration process time and enable production to come online sooner while providing guidelines to all parties. Also, additional reporting clarity will improve transparency for mineral interest owners and potential operators, thereby improving competition and strengthening the correlative rights of the mineral interest owner. Chairman and members of the Commission, thank you for your time today, and I'm happy to stand for any questions.
Committee, are there any questions? Senator Schroeder.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On page 12 of the bill, lines 6 through 18, there's a requirement for notice and an opportunity for hearing for a proposed drilling unit. I see that entire subsection has been struck through. Can you speak to that?
Mr. Thomas.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, Senator Schroeder. Stand by while I get there. I thought about bringing a digital format today, and I probably should have. The notice that you're talking about has been combined and moved down as we combine 317 and 318. That notice is still required, but we moved it down further into Section 318.
I'm sorry. Trying to take care of technical difficulties. Did you have further comment?
No.
Okay. Can you talk to me about setbacks and arm length?
I'm sorry.
Agreements.
Certainly.
What that means,
Chairman, members of the committee. First, a setback. Before these changes, a setback, that's a geographic distance, a straight line boundary to the end of the unit. Before this was added, a setback of, for example, 660 feet from the well could indicate the surface location, but if the well was slightly deviated, it could actually terminate and move closer to the unit than that 660 feet. And so by building it into the well bore, we require that any place along that well bore cannot be closer than 660 feet in the form of a gas well to that unit boundary. That is an additional step to protect the correlative rights of anyone outside of that unit who may still, you know, have some sort of gas resources that is withdrawn. It's a geologic safeguard. As far as arm's length transaction, clarity was needed, frankly, over the past few years to ensure that an operator didn't sell to an entity within its own ownership group. Okay, so if gas is at $5 per thousand cubic feet, there was an, you know, the prior wording could have allowed an operator of, an entity within one ownership group to sell to another entity within that ownership group. And honestly, it could have been less than market prices. Building in the requirement for a third-party arm's length transaction closed that, well, I'll use loophole, but closed that loophole so that a true third-party sale price is what is reported to the state and what is what severance tax is based on.
Senator Taylor.
Thank you, Chairman. And Mr. Thomas, thank you. I'm going to back up just for a little bit. Senator Schroeder had asked about those lines 6 through 18 on page 12. And if I'm correct, you said they were incorporated into 318, yet it says that 318 was repealed. So I'm trying to figure out where that language showed up.
That was a verbal mistake. Excuse me, Senator. Thank you, Senator Taylor. 317 and 318 were combined into 317. My apologies for that.
Thank you.
Senator.
Okay, I see no more questions. Thank you, Mr. Thomas.
Thank you.
We do have some people that would like to testify. I have a Julie Fugate. And this will be virtual if everything works. We can see you, Julie. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, go ahead. You have 2 minutes.
Okay, thank you. We oppose House Bill 120. We are residents at Ground Zero for drilling in Payette County and have lived in the Treasure Valley all of our lives. We believed Representative Judy Boyle would be against this bill based on her public outcry in 2017 against oil and gas. However, Representative Boyle contradicts herself and misinforms again and again in her presentation to the House on March 9th. Boyle said, Paya County residents were lucky. We are not lucky, nor are we happy with House Bill 120. We felt violated being forced to be immersed in this industrial development. Oil and gas operations involving our property put our mortgage and homeowners policies at tremendous risk. We have documents straight from our insurance provider warning that we are not covered for water contamination or any other damages to our home or property resulting from any facet of oil and gas operations. The state's bond to cover damages for a hydrocarbon well is a laughable $6,000 shared by property owners in a 640-acre section. To fit the definition of just and reasonable, minimum bonds should equal the value of each home within the impact zone of these wells so that when something goes wrong, the mishaps with this industry, oil companies can't just file bankruptcy, leaving homeowners and taxpayers high and dry. In fact, this has already happened here, and House Bill 120 will make it even easier for it to happen again. That is exactly why the industry is pumping this bill. Finally, Boyle's comments about the federal judge's intention.
Mr. Chairman,
in his
could she
ruling-
not impugn the motives of Representative Boyle? I object.
Okay, Ms. Fugate, be careful how you talk about other individuals. Stick to the legislation that's being dealt with, please.
Okay. Based on the judge's ruling, he never implied that our constitutional rights should be handed to oil companies on a silver platter, which is exactly what House Bill 120 will do if signed into law. Passing House Bill 120 means the profits of oil companies and a handful of large landowners supersedes both our property rights and our constitutional rights being honored and respected. Please don't fall for it. Please vote nay on House Bill 120.
Thank you, Ms. Fugate. Are there any questions? Seeing none, we appreciate your testimony. I have John Seal.
Good afternoon. My name is Jonathan Seal. I live at 2906 North Haven, Eagle, Idaho.
So, John, you'll have 2 minutes. So, okay. Thank you.
I've lived in Idaho for almost 30 years now, and I have constantly heard the importance of property rights. I've heard that from state legislatures, county, and also city. And it strikes me in reading through this modification that what you're doing is you're diluting the property rights of the individuals, the people like Judy who just talked about, the impact it's having on them, the residents within those areas. I think it's important that you don't dilute those property rights. I also would say to you, put yourself in the place of somebody like Judy. If you live in a home in, for example, a Payette, and the impact that this oil and gas industry is doing on you, would you want to live there? And if you do, I would say go on the record and say, yeah, I would be fine with it. But I suspect you, like me, do not want that. We recognize that the oil and gas industry is not going away, but I think it's important that you keep the playing field level and that you ensure that the homeowners, the residents, the people that vote for you are protected. And I see this as simply diluting their protection and leaning it towards the gas and oil industry. And I don't think that that's right. And I hope that you'll share that with me. And again, if you see no problem in living next to an oil and gas well, then I think you should go on the record and say, that's fine with me. My suspicion, respectfully, is none of you would. I wouldn't. And I suspect you wouldn't either. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Seal. Are there any questions? Seeing none, thank you. So we have Mark Mullins is here. Please state your name for the record.
My name is Mark Mullins. Good afternoon, Senators. I'm here today to speak against House Bill 120. I received a packet in the mail a few weeks ago telling me that an out-of-state operator Snake River Oil and Gas, is going to force me, possibly, to allow them to drill on my property or section of land and steal my resources from underneath my land. The people elected to represent me are not only not doing anything about the trespassing and stealing of my resources, but they're also allowing it, meanwhile taking money from them. Imagine with me for a minute that I informed each of you that I'm going to move into your home or your land, helping myself to whatever you own, paying you pennies on the dollar for what it's worth. And by the way, if I ruin anything, such as your drinking water, I would have a small, pathetic amount of a bond that is not going to replace anything. In my opinion, Idaho is better than this. Moving forward, I would ask you to vote this bill down. Represent the people who elected you. Stop letting resources be stolen and money go out of the state. Start putting laws, regulations, and bonds into place to protect the people and landowners of this great state. Integrity is often strived for, but rarely achieved. I have not heard of very many circumstances where this operator has worked with integrity. No one has the right to come onto my property, steal my resources from underneath me without my permission. It's time to be proactive instead of reactive. It's time to say no to some subpar, underhanded tactics of Snake River Gas and Oil and any other operator that tries to rip off the citizens and landowners of this great state. Any questions, sir?
Committee, is there any questions? Yes, Senator Den Hartog.
Thank you, Mr. Mullins. The presenter had mentioned that there had been a few instances where the public was available or able to comment, and one maybe out in your area. Were you a participant to those, or were you aware of some of the availability to provide public input when these changes were being considered?
Mr. Mullins.
Yes, ma'am. I was personally at the Fruitland City Hall when that meeting took place with Mr. Thomas. But I did not give testimony. I'm very new to this.
I guess I'd have a question. You said that they want to drill on your land without your permission. Is that correct? Is that what I understood?
That's what I understand. Like I said, I'm very new to this. But I've heard the term forced pooling. I've heard the term the 640-acre section of land of which my property resides in, that they can come in, plan a well, and then my resources...
But not on your property?
Is that possible? I'm not exactly sure. And I don't want somebody to show up one day and say, by the way, your property is ground zero above this pool in this section, and we're going to drill here.
Okay, thank you. See no further questions.
Thank you.
We have Jordan Gross, who will be... hopefully come up on our video here. Jordan, can you hear us?
I sure can.
Okay, go ahead and start. You have 2 minutes. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Jordan Gross. I'm a Fruitland resident and the head football coach here at the high school, and actually a neighbor of Mark Mullins, who spoke right before me. I've been involved in kind of the state of affairs in our area for a number of years, and I do want to take 5 seconds of my time and thank Mick Thomas for his job he's done. I don't want that job, Mick. And it's been tough. I can echo a lot of the sentiments Mark Mullins had. I'm currently in the tract that's being integrated, and I'm an uncommitted interest owner. One thing I would like to bring up to your committee is on Section 47.320 of House Bill 120, the addition of number C, base entitlement. That's really where we can protect the mineral interest owners such as Mr. Mullins and Ms. Fugit and others in our area that aren't maybe for what's happening or haven't signed on during the integration process. To answer Mark's question, absolutely, that the gas company can drill on your property once they integrate. And Mr. Thomas would be able to agree with that. He mentioned to you folks when he started his summary that they've added the words maximum extent possible for the gas company to not enter into surface lands. However, that doesn't prohibit them from doing so. So when Mick Thomas had the March 22nd session in Fruitland, he mentioned for comments on this adjustment to House Bill 120, I stood in front of him and I said the same thing. I feel that uncommitted interest owners are those that didn't sign a lease in an integrated section. They should absolutely have all protection for their surface lands, and they don't. And even so much so that the bill states that the surface owner cannot prohibit the operations of the gas operator on their own land. So I just think that the bill is, we don't have enough of this stuff vetted yet to make any permanent changes.
Thank you for your comments. Committee, are there any questions? Thank you, Mr. Gross, and good luck with your next season.
Thank you.
Okay, we have Sarah Witherspoon. Just for your information, Shelley Brock will be next, Stuart Reese, and then Abby Lee. And then we'll probably have to finish up.
Okay. Hi, can you see me and hear me?
Yes. Yes, we can. Go ahead.
Okay. My name is Sarah Witherspoon, and I oppose H-120. I'm against out-of-state companies having the power and freedom to drill for natural resources near, around, or under our property and community infrastructure. It alarms me that it would be considered to empower the organization and industry to dictate what is just and reasonable when and if they were to force pool from my property and those of my neighbors. Why would you want to put the profit of out-of-state businesses above my individual property rights and property value? We live a couple blocks from a recent well that was mined. For weeks, trucks and equipment drove past our house at all hours of the day and through the night, disrupting the sleep of our children. Before the well was capped, an enormous plume of fire roared out of the piping for weeks, again, disrupting sleep and peace. Now I hear another well is going in a few blocks in the other direction. Can you imagine this happening next door to you, or worse, to have your own property force pooled? The potential effect it could have on your property value, or the risks of having it near or underneath your property. Please don't pass this bill. Please do not empower the businesses motivated by profit to determine what is just and reasonable. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Committee, are there any questions? Seeing none, thank you, Sarah, or Ms. Witherspoon. Better be proper. Okay. Shelley Brock.
Before I begin,
please state your name.
Yeah, Shelley Brock. I was going to ask if there's any chance I could have one extra minute as the leader of the group that has been working on this issue here for almost a decade.
So,
chance you could do that.
We have another committee coming in right behind us. We have 3 minutes. So, okay. Take two and we'll move on.
Okay. All right. Good afternoon, Chairman and committee members. My name is Shelley Brock. I live in Eagle, where oil and gas drilling has occurred, and I oppose this bill on behalf of myself, my nonprofit, Kaya, and all Idahoans. While there are several serious problems with H-120, the most egregious is the proposed change to Idaho code regarding just and reasonable terms in integration or forced pooling contracts. Idaho law already allows oil companies to forcibly drill under our homes and through our aquifers in order to take the oil and gas we own while paying us a pittance for the risks we're exposed to. In 2018, my group Kaya won a federal lawsuit based on due process rights enshrined in the U.S. and Idaho constitutions that guarantee property owners at least receive just and reasonable terms in these compulsory contracts. Director Thomas has held hearings, as he said, on each forced pooling application submitted since then, allowing property owners to ask for terms that are fairer instead of invariably favoring the oil companies. On some of these, Mr. Thomas has prohibited fracking, drilling the wellbore directly under, and running dangerous pipelines through their properties. While not all of our terms have been granted, these important concessions help to minimize the risks Idahoans are forced to take. H-120 would allow oil companies to dictate their own version of just and reasonable terms, based on an industry standard that's designed solely to enrich them at the direct expense of citizens' rights to protect the minerals we own, the value of our homes, our precious water, and the health and safety of our families. This is an unconstitutional industry-drafted statutory scheme to increase their profits by decreasing accountability. That is the main goal of this bill. In closing, I just want to say that I trust the oath you all swore to uphold the U.S. and Idaho constitutions and to protect the rights of Idaho citizens. Passing 120 will obliterate those rights. So please stand up for your constituents and kill this bad bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms.
And I will stand for questions.
Seeing none, thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Oh, we do.
Sorry.
Senator Taylor.
I will try and make it quick. Thank you, Ms. Brock, was it?
Yes.
Thank you. Reasonable and just are vague terms, in my opinion. And we've had one suggestion of a full mortgage instead of a $6,000 payout if there was a problem. What other changes would be suitable to help meet that reasonable and just language?
Well, we've asked for... Yes, thank you. Thank you, Senator. We've asked for a lot of terms over the years, including, as Julie said, we believe that the bonds should be set at the value of the homes that are in closest proximity to this. Historically, these companies have a minimal bond like this $6,000 bond they have here. And when things go badly, which they all too frequently do with this industry across the country, they file bankruptcy and leave. In fact, our prior operator, who was a full operating partner with the company that's here now, did just that. So that's a fact. We also would ask for things like that the industry would pay for independent third-party water testing of the water for these homeowners. It's very expensive, $600 to $800. It needs to be done so that they have a leg to stand on in court if their water is contaminated. We don't think the citizens should have to pay for that. There are a couple of other things too that I could go on.
Okay, thank you. I see no further questions. Thank you, Ms. Brock.
Okay, thank you.
We are out of time, and the next committee that comes in needs to come in. Senator Lee, would you give a few parting words, and then we'll finish up.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, committee members. I've never testified in front of a Senate committee before that I wasn't a member of, and so this is very important to me. It's important to my district, and I would just offer that there are a number of really good things that are in this piece of legislation. The arms length is something that I've worked on for a long time, but I think what you're hearing is that we really need, number one, a commission that is more reflective of the people, and I give a lot of kudos and credit to Mr. Thomas. His bosses are the commission, and so he is here presenting to you what the commission would like for you to hear. I would hope that perhaps because these are such big issues, that this committee would be willing to perhaps amend this bill in three certain ways. So one is really making sure that the commission is representative of the people. We have a commission that is set up by the state, and I helped be a part of that. And it has done a lot of good for our citizens. There are many people who are not here to testify that are in favor of oil and gas in this development, but we need to do it right. And so I am here to respectfully ask that these committees send House Bill 120 to the 14th order for possible amendments this session.
Thank you. Committee, the legislation is before you. What are your wishes? Senator Semeroth.
Mr. Chairman, for a motion.
Motion's in order.
I move that we send House Bill 120 to the 14th order for possible amendments.
Seconded by Senator Harris. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Seeing none, House Bill 120 will go to the 14th order for possible amendments. That can concludes our business today. We appreciate everyone coming and those that have testified virtually. Thank you. We're adjourned.